5 to 33, which will be our main text for tonight. It's a very popular, you know, scripture that we are all familiar with. We have forgotten that without God creating you and I, who is the beginning and the end? Who is the author and finisher of our faith? Who is even the reason why we exist? We have forgotten that when you put him first on that scale of preference, like we rightly mentioned, on God's scale of preference, you will be topmost. Whatever position that we place him, and that's exactly what's happening to us, even to myself, everything that I'll be saying here tonight, I'm talking more about myself. I'm using myself even as an example. So please bear with me. But as we all gathered here, because we are here to learn at his feet, I want us to also continue to ponder on this. Whatever position, whatever place that we place God on that, on our scale of preference, on our priority list, that is where, though he's a merciful God, he's compassionate, that is where God tends to place us. So let us read Matthew 6, 25 to 33.
Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Thank you, Bob. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So briefly, when we look at this Matthew 6 from 25 to 33 that our mommy has just read to us, you will discover that, like I said, Jesus Christ himself knows that as humans, he says, that's 32. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Exactly what all of us, as we are seated, almost everybody, as we are seated here now, that is what we lost after. That is what myself, I can remember, I think I've said it before, well, you know, when he first even came to the United States, the first thing that kept ringing in my head was how to just start, to make dollars and all that. You know, I started trying everything, you know. Just that was like maybe number one on my scale of preference then. Even though I had other plans, the major plans, but I just needed to be doing something. Exactly, that's how we are as humans. So he says, for our heavenly Father knows that we will need all these things. from the angle of flesh, there is no way, humanly thinking, that I will not need resources to take care, you know, of myself or of my family. We have numerous words, you know, from the scriptures that support all this. They know that my family must be in good health, must be in good shape. They know that my children must attend the best schools. Our Heavenly Father knows. He knows that I must get to the pinnacle of my career. But at what expense? That is the question we should be asking ourselves tonight. At whose or at what expense? As Christians, our focus should not be what will I eat? What will my children eat? What clothes will I put on? What resources do I need to survive even in this land? Those are the cares that we nurse, you know, as humans, you know, every day, every now and then, even almost every second of our lives. These are the things that make up our top priority list. And we now place God, you know, maybe beneath the list. Exactly. But what is Jesus Christ saying here? Even when you look at that from, there was a part I didn't ask us to read that part. Even from verse 19, that of that Matthew 6, 33, where Jesus is trying to tell us that do not lay up yourselves treasure upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We want to have this. I want to have that. I want to do this. I want to do that. Like you mentioned last week, man. You know, we will say the amount of the number of hours we've spent, and that the Olulano was even saying he had spent, he spends 1 hour reading the Bible every day. He was trying to break down, you know, another 30 minutes of prayer in the morning, then maybe sometime, yes, at night. But most of the hours for work, same thing applies even to us, even to me. I don't think I even spend, you know, 1 hour reading the Bible every day or 30 minutes. May God have mercy upon us. Because that is a displaced priority. And that's exactly what the problem is that a lot of us will face as Christians. So we are being reminded tonight that if you lay up all your treasures, all our certificates, it is good, all our degrees, I mentioned last week, so I said that I was preparing for one exam like that. I've been trying to see how we can do and do write exam, do those stuff. Today, I was looking at myself, you know, I was going through some materials again. I said to myself, just like you, I remembered again. I said, you mentioned last week that if only how many minutes or hours do you spend even reading your Bible? But here you are now. Since last year, I will postpone. I'll be reading, you know, the materials. I will do. My wife, she has written how many exams now? You know, part of her top priority. So that if I do these exams, at least I will rise. Myself, let me do this one too. I will rise. So I was not looking at myself, but how many minutes do you spend? In minutes, I'm talking of me, not even hours. Now, how many minutes have I even spent on reading the Word of God? I'm still coming to the priority now, the other one that we're talking about in that verse 6:33. How many minutes have I spent? Even sometimes to just say prayers, you know, like normal family prayer, take time to say the morning devotion. Fine, we say it though. But sometimes it's in a car. You know that we'll pray because we'll pray. You know, when we join prayer, family, this in the morning, church, whatever, in the morning, the next prayer, normally we're supposed to say our family. Sometimes it's even in the car. How many minutes? We are done. And that's it. But I'm spending time reading materials. You know, we can spend hours. But instead of me, you know, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Instead of us, to seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness. So that all these things, all these degrees, will make sense. And like I said, 50% of the effort that we'll put into all these things, if only we channel those energy, those efforts into the things of God, that's knowing God or serving him more or seeking, my brother, my sister, heaven is almost certain for you and I. That thing I can say. Let's look at this example. I'm still coming back to that matter. Let's look at this example. When he says that we should not lay up treasures, you know, on this earth and all that. And also, when he also says here, hang on 1 second. So when he also says that, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we do? This and all that and all that. So when he now says that, all these things shall be added unto us. Let's take example. A typical example just to corroborate this point I'm about to make. Our daddy, no, okay, even before we go to daddy, Gio and the rest of them. When you look at the likes of Abraham in the Bible, God told him, right, to leave everything, you know, in the land where he was and all that, you know. Maybe I'd even become a monile. I'm just saying it, you know, in our own time, just permit me. Maybe a monile, you know, that time. He left all. Right? He listened to the commands of God. He never cared about the preferity. He never cared about what will people say. He never cared about what will my children eat. He left all, right? When we look at who again? And God, Jesus said to them, onward. What happened? They left all and went with Jesus Christ. That is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the riches, the wealth, the affluence, the influence that we are all seeking, the peace of mind, the everlasting joy will be added unto us. And you know, above it all, like I said, that assurance is almost 100% that you will make heaven. That crown of glory that awaits us. Isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that the reason why you and I are in this Christendom, in this Christian race? If I ask anyone here now, who is not interested in making heaven? Can anyone say, I'm not interested in going to heaven? Can anybody seated here say, no, heaven, no, it's just for me to live this life and just perish and go like that? So what's the point as Christian? Even for me, as myself, like I said, it applies to me a lot. So brethren, we are being reminded tonight, Abraham left it all. Andrew left all. Moses left all. John, James, you know, they left all. The 12, they left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And where did they end up? And what became of their lives? These people we have mentioned. Eternity. But here we are, as we are seated here today. Things of the world, they matter a lot. They are topmost on our priority. So I ask the question again. I want us to begin to ponder on it. What's your priority as a Christian? What's my priority as a Christian? Daddy Adeboye, another example. Even Bishop Oyedepo and the likes of them. Let's even leave Bible now aside. But these are men that we can see physically. And we can see the physical, even the spiritual manifestation of the Matthew 6:33, even of the Matthew 6:19, from 19 up to that 6:33 that we just read. They have refused to lay up their treasures here on earth because they know it's all vanity. Matthew 16:26. What shall it profit a man? What is wealth without the kingdom of God at sight? Daddy Adeboye, I think he rose, was at the pinnacle of his career then as a PhD holder, yes, back in UNILAG. I think professor of professor of mathematics or something like that. He did what? He left it all. That was the topmost priority on his agenda. He sought the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness first. And what has happened to his life today? Just like God promised Abraham, because he made God his top priority. Sometimes I look at myself. I'll continue to mention myself. Exams. Hey, do this one. Oh, I'm writing. I want to become this one before. You know, I had like three different types of exam in mind. Certification. I've not even done one yet. Fine. But the point here is the point I'm making. I started prioritizing. Do this one. This, I will drop it. I will get to one. But I even purchased one material like that for one certificate exam. I spent money. I read to the point. I looked at it and no. I analyzed it. I spent time wasting my time, wasting my energy. I will read hours now, up to now. I fixed one. Okay. Of what essence? My wife has written her own. We thank God. But it's good to prosper. It's good. God has blessed us with children. He has blessed us with good health. But what are all these blessings for? If you and I, as we are seated here, God forbid, if we do not make heaven, of what use? That's exactly what happened to me. One day we were on the plane, you know, I think we went to Lagos, returning to Abuja, back to our work base. I think the plane was almost, it got to a point, they announced there was going to be maybe a storm, or we're about, you know, encountering like turbulence or a strong storm or something like, you know. And I think at some point, all of a sudden, the plane was about like going down some, you know, not that, but because of my, you know. So, but the point I want to make is this. I started forgetting. At that point, I thought we had gone down. So, and I said to myself, Mr. Man, if you had gone, I was just, you know, pondering myself, if it had happened like that, would you have made heaven? Would I have made it? Sometimes something will happen to me. Sometimes it will be like, you know, when you are falling sick, a lot of things begin to run. When you fall sick, a lot of things begin to run through our mind. A lot of thoughts, crazy thoughts, even as children of God that we are not supposed to be having, they begin to run through our mind. Do we know? Like I said, and I'll keep saying it. If I've been putting in 50%, I'm just saying 50%. God expects us to be perfect, of course. If I've been putting in that 50%, studying the word of God, knowing God more, seeking his kingdom first, rather than seeking all these material things, do I know, do we know, do you know, as we all seated here, that even if something is going to happen to me, negative, or death, or like I think I've told my wife before several times, it doesn't really matter, you know, how many years. Fine. God has not promised us, you know, short life and all that. Fine. Longevity. Fine. We know. But it doesn't really matter to us when you die. If you die in the Lord, even though God's thought, his plans towards us, of good, not of evil. Fine. But these are all the worries, the anxiety, all the cares that we go through as Christians simply because we have failed to to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That Adeboye left it all. Like I mentioned, these are physical people that we can see today. Bishop Oyedepo, they left it all. Because they have decided to seek first the kingdom of God. Now tell me, all these other things that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was talking about, that will be added unto them. Don't even, right now, don't they have more than abundance? Is it in terms of good health? I think that the Abuye was talking about how he has never had high blood pressure. How he has even never had all these strange diseases and all that. I'm just saying now, few among the rest. But where do we belong to? I'm just charging us. Everything that Jesus Christ talks about in this verse 36, in this verse 33, chapter 6, verse 33, they have it all right now. And now, above all, by God's grace, I know that the boy, by God, I'm just saying, I'm not God, but I know that by God's grace, heaven, paradise will be his lot in Jesus' name. And that will be our own portion in the name of Jesus. If only we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look at ourselves. The priority, the topmost on our agenda, on the scale of preference, like I said, they are all the cares of the world. Can somebody open to Colossians? Colossians 3, 1 to 4.
Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. To 3, right?
To 4.
Okay. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
In glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Let our top priority, our focus, be on the things above. And I bet you, even Christianity, as Christian brothers, even as brethren, as members of the body of Christ, even myself, all the anxiety, all the failures, all the downcast, all the worries, all the lack, all the sicknesses, you know, the diseases, you know, of this world, not even finding joy, you know, in children, and that will not be our portion. I'm just saying it. Economic recession and the rest of this. We will not be facing all of this. That the Adeboye has countless children, both physical, both spiritual blessings, both physical blessings. So let me ask us, who is now losing? If we decide that the topmost priority, our topmost priority is going to be those treasures that we lay up here on earth, who is on the losing side? Fine, we can have all the money. We can have all the degrees. We can have all the positions. But is that crown of glory, is that paradise which Jesus Christ promised he was going there to sit on the right, to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we shall be. Brethren, is it certain that myself will be going there or will be, you know, be wearing this crown of glory? Is it certain I will be in that paradise with our Lord Jesus Christ? Because we have continued, you know, to trail or to walk on the path of worldly things. And what we fail to realize is this. That Adeboye, I will continue to say it, the likes of Oyedepo and the rest of them, they have lost nothing. Rather, they are gaining almost everything. And that ultimate goal is almost attainable for them at this level. They have good health of body, mind, and soul. They have rest of mind. Spiritual growth, communion with God. When they bind, it is bound in heaven. When they lose, it is loosed in heaven. When they cast out demons, when they hear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ from their mouth, the demons, they tremble. Sickness flees from them. They are fruitful in all ways. But here we are as Christians, partisan Christians. Even myself, my running around every day, even if I build mansions, even here on this health, then what becomes of me when I have not placed God on the topmost agenda? He has not been my top priority. We want to give birth. I can remember, when we wanted to give birth to Tishé, Oluwa Tishé, our son. I can remember, this one is just by the side. We wanted to give birth to him. We wanted to have him in the U.S., then. And we were denied, right? I wanted to try it the second time. My wife wanted to say, okay, let's just try this. Just because of the future of our children, just to secure them, right? And I said, U.S. citizen, even if he comes to all this, do we need to try again? That's to say, let's go the second time. I said, because U.S. citizen, if he becomes citizen now, is it an automatic, what's it called, passport to heaven? And I was just saying jokingly, of what use? Even if the child becomes U.S. citizen, and I lack that grace to train him up in the way of the Lord, and even myself, I have not sought the face of the Almighty. He has not been on top of my priority. The only thing I do is settle myself first. My scale of preference is full of my own personal things that I need to achieve before the year runs out, before I become 40, because I turn 50, 60. Those are my personal things. A lot of us, as we are seated as Christians, those are our top agenda on our list. I keep asking myself, may God forbid, that will not be our portion. If I die today, is heaven sure for me? With all the wealth, where has it taken us? Every time children begin to run, when they run temperature, we begin to run helter skelter. No money to pay school fees or this and that. We begin to run helter skelter. We face failure. We face disappointment. We face heartbreaks. From people around us. But here is the word of God. If you focus on the things of heaven, we'll be sitting, shouting hallelujah in paradise. That will be our portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is my prayer that as we are talking, as we are discussing tonight, as we are hearing this word of God, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will grant us that divine wisdom, divine understanding, that foresight to be able to apply all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So before we take questions, but I want us to just look at this. The question where I want us to contribute is this. How can we, as Christians, as children of God, having understood the fact that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will agree with me. The Bible says thou shalt not judge and all that. But I'm just saying it now. You will agree with me that like almost 90% or 95% of Christians, they run all around, everything, almost everything on the agenda is all about themselves. Personal gain. Personal upliftment. So tell me, what I want us to look at tonight is, how can we make God and his kingdom, because we have been commanded by Jesus that we should seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. How can we make God and his kingdom a top priority on our agenda or in our lives as Christians? Because God's wish is not for us to perish. God's wish is not for us to call him, you know, serve him, come to the church, me here, preaching, Bible study, follow up, all those things. And at the end of the day, that portion of Matthew 7:22, that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. We will not be cast away in his presence in the name of Jesus. So contributions, before I round up, how can we as Christians begin to rechannel all our energy, all our efforts towards, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How can we make this our top priority? We all know, we read it in the Bible. We know, we have heard it numerous times, countless times, even right from when I was a child. And we're following our parents to the church, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But how realistic is it? How feasible it is it for us as children of God? I want us to be realistic now. And I want us to come up with, you know, practical, being supported by the Bible, of course, because this is Bible study, digging deep. I have a lot of, you know, scriptural references, but I just want us to contribute in this regard. So how do you think, as we are all seated, because God wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to reap the fruit of our labor. So how then do we make God and his kingdom top priority on our list? Before we conclude,
praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, I was actually going to ask a question. But you had already asked the question before I was given the opportunity to ask the question. So, thank you for asking my question. So, I was, you know, when I went to ask a question, I'm also thinking, what is the answer to the question that I want to ask? So, I will give my own answer. And I will hope and pray that the Bible scholars in the house, our elders, to be able to give us an answer as well, so that we can learn from, because it's a journey and all of us are learning on that journey. So just to paraphrase quickly, my question is just just picking up what you said, and that was, so how do we prioritize God, especially in terms of our ministry? I know, and the background to my answer is this: everybody has a ministry. Everybody has something that God has assigned that we should come to this world to come and do. Now, how do we now balance that with our secular careers? Because for some, they are lucky, and I'll put it that way, lucky that their secular work, what they do in this world, what they do for a living, what they get their income from, is also their ministry. That's luck. You are very fortunate, because in that way, you are fulfilling purpose, you are making a living, everything. Life couldn't be any better. But for some, they are working their day job as a teacher in a school, or maybe working as a nurse, or working as a landscaper, whatever. But their ministry is something totally different. Maybe God wants them to be evangelists, but they have to do a day job to make a living. So somehow you have to balance the two of them and prioritize God and put God as the number one in the scale of preference, right? So I think that's really where the twist comes in terms of how do you, you want to, and I'm going to give a very practical example. I grew up in the house of a pastor. My father is a pastor. And for some reason or the other, I felt that growing up, maybe I feel a bit differently. I'm not totally convinced, though. I felt that my father shouldn't have gone into full-time ministry. Because I felt it was one of the... His advent into full-time ministry was one of the most challenging years of our life. I grew up pretty much with a silver spoon. I was born... My father wasn't rich, but we're not poor. Right? So, you know, when you are comfortable enough to send your children to a very good school, I went to one of the best schools in Gbagada at the time. And then, after a while, my father decided that he was going to go into full-time ministry. Right? And then, things became very difficult. As in, I saw the other side of life. I knew what it meant to actually see poverty and stare it in the face. Right? There were some times it was so difficult to even have something to eat. I hugged. I sold pure water. Ice water at the time. It wasn't even pure water. The ice water was the kind of ice water that you had to put in the dew for it to get cold during the Harmattan, and then you hug it during the day when it's sunny. So it was that bad. Right? And for me, I felt, why did he go into full-time ministry? Why didn't he just continue? He was an accountant. He was a professional accountant. He had a job. Why did he leave his job? You know, I didn't understand it as a child. Maybe I don't totally understand it right now yet. I still feel it was a wrong decision to make, right? And for me, he prioritized God, right? At least in the context of this discussion, he put God's ministry first. Now, can you put God's ministry first and still fail? And still not get it right? No, I'm not. This is a rhetorical question. I'm not saying that we need to answer it here. I'm using a practical example because this is what I faced growing up. So, and I'm telling you this because when we say, seek the kingdom of God. What exactly is the kingdom that we are seeking? And all of that things shall be added unto you. That's God's promise, right? So what exactly are we seeking? Is it that, leave every other thing and do God's work? And then, for Daddy Adeboye, let me give you what some people will say it was a gamble and it paid off for him. Now, I'm giving you a real life experience. For some, it didn't pay off. They went all in, did the ministry, left every other thing, and it didn't turn out all right. So what would you say about those people? So what exactly is the reward for? And I'm not saying this because I don't agree with you. Don't misunderstand my point. I'm saying this because I want us to actually think deep.
Yes.
I want us to actually go back home and be able to reflect and, like, sit down and really reflect on this word. Like, we shouldn't worry about anything. It actually says not to worry, which is good. But you actually have to be responsible. Because the Bible also talks about you. If you don't work, you should not eat.
Yes.
So if you don't work, how do you expect to feed your family? How do you expect to be, he said, an infidel? How does he describe it? The man that is an infidel who cannot take care of his home.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to actually, it's worse than an infidel, right? So you have to actually do, sorry, I'm taking so much time. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to give my question context so that we could understand. So how do we balance all of this? My own answer is that your ministry is the ultimate that God wants, is the, like, the goal that God wants you to achieve. But you can achieve that anywhere. And it shouldn't be everybody's going to be a pastor kind of thing. Everybody's not going to be a pastor. Right? And so, we shouldn't get to the point where we start to feel bad. But let me give other people a chance to speak. Maybe by the time you speak now, all this is thought I'm having in my mind.
Yeah, that is.
Praise God. But,
okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, what you were talking about, trying to practicalize it, but, you don't know when God called your father. And when God called you, it doesn't mean that you will not go through challenges. Take for example, I will take Elijah. When God, the brook Cherith dried up, right? I mean, he was the one who
who sent him to that area. When that thing dried up, what did he do? He gave him another direction. You see, you are not there. Your daddy will not share it with you when he heard from God. Thank God he's still living. Thank God he's not begging for food. According to the word of God, any child of God will not lack any good thing. It may be tough. In your ministry, God wants to promote you, wants to elevate you. You have to go through those challenges. If you don't go through, look at those people who didn't go through challenge. They are not called. They are orator, you know. And they go, blah, 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 blah. The church is filled up. You don't know. There wasn't anything moving there, right? And the money is flowing. And suddenly, boom. Now you guys be talking, look at this man of God. You see, there are certain things when God calls you into ministry, he doesn't want you. That's why if you look at that 6, Matthew 6 from 33 that we read, he said that God knows all your needs. Right? He knows all your needs. But if you key into what he has called you, he will feed you, whether you like it or not. When Daddy Adoboyema got to that, before he got to this level, you know how what he went through. They were living in Mushi, at one house, you know, and you know things were so rough. He talked about things were so bad that he was thinking of walking out of this. But, you know, gradually, he gets up to where he gets to. And let me tell you, brethren, it's nothing goes for nothing. No. If you are called into a ministry and you are not ready to face the battle of that ministry, that person will crumble on the way and then fall off. I love, Proverbs 30. When you read Proverbs 30, that was a portion in that area, talking about just give me the food that is convenient for me. Don't give me too much so that I might not deny you. Because you see, when people get swollen headed, then the ministry begin to crumble. God has called you something. It might probably be where you are working now. Your ministry will thrive. It does not necessarily mean that, there's no time. When God puts you in a place, there are certain things he wants you to do, to accomplish. And if you don't accomplish it, that will not be our portion. He replaces his substitute. We will not be substituted in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
But you must find time. You must find time. That's all what God wants from you. If it is only 4 hours or 3 hours in a week, do it diligently, zealously. And that's where ministry thrives. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. So, brother, okay, then mommy and pastor.
Praise God.
Okay.
I'm like an outsider because I don't always come.
And mommy, did you?
I'm just going to say that you don't, because based on the examples you've been given, it seems like, maybe I might be confused too. Like, you have to be a pastor to, because you keep mentioning Pastor Adeboye, Bishop Oyedepo. So I want to say that ordinary people too can still do what you are doing and still seek the kingdom of God. You can be a billionaire, not as a pastor, and still seek the kingdom of God. Because if an unbeliever comes here and he keeps hearing like all those people, then you say those people are pastors. I mean, not all of us wants to be pastor. I mean, I know there are people who wants to be, but it's not all of us. So I think I don't know if we can have example of people who have seek the kingdom of God outside of being Pastor Adeboye or Bishop Oyedepo. I don't know if there's a good example.
Not in the context of pastor alone.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Not in the context of pastor alone, but I'm just, okay, ma'am, you can talk. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm just going to just briefly say that seeking the kingdom of God first is actually what we as Christians need to follow through. And to piggyback on what Brother Shola had said, that you know, there's some men of God that eventually, some make it. I won't call it gambling. And these are some of the things that people have said, that there's most times, most questions cannot be answered on the planet Earth. It is when we get to heaven that we get some answers to something. What do you want to say about Stephen? What do you want to say about John the Baptist? They sacrificed all, but they ended up dead. Well, they died gruesomely. Would you say God is not fair? Who? God allowed them to be, God allowed Stephen to be stoned. God allowed John the Baptist's head to be cut off. He could, God who, the same God who appeared when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the first fire, could have appeared when they wanted to cut head of the, or cut John's head, and said, and did something, and something. So there's some things, you know, there's some people that would give all to God. That doesn't mean their lives will be smooth. God did not promise. I think that's the misconception of we Christians. Believe that when we give our life to Christ, when we are for God, everything has to be rosy. No, God did not. Jesus did not have it rosy, because we are supposed to walk in the path of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not have it rosy, even though he commanded sickness and demons to be. He didn't have it rosy. So we should not expect. Yes, maybe some will be. No, grace is, we all walk and operate in different level of grace. Maybe Pastor Deboy's grace is, you know, attracted with, you know, wealth. I don't know. You see, these are some of the things that, you know, it's only God that can answer. But then our own path, because if you look at what you just shared with us in that book of Matthew, it was Jesus that said it, not any apostles, not any other person, but Jesus Christ said it, that we should not worry about. I think, like Brother Dayo has said, it's not about pastoral. Where God has placed in your family, in your in the life of your sibling, at your place of work, what example? What are we putting forth? Would they ask you to come to church on Sunday and they ask you to come to work on Sunday? What are you seeking for? So I'm sorry. I remember when I first started, when I came to America, and I did my CNA, and I had to work weekends, and my husband had to take the kids to church, and I had to go to work on Sunday. I felt so bad. There was this thing in me that I felt so bad. I was so angry with myself that, why am I doing this? But you know, I just decided to say, Father, if truly you have called my husband then was, you know, assistant. I said, if truly you have called my husband, why would I, the wife, be at work? My husband and my children will be going to church, even though that's the scope of the kind of job I signed up for. But you know, God that sees all things and knows all things, knows how to fix something. I think that's where the place of Bible says, this is life, this is death. Pick one. Okay? And that time, I was pained. I asked God, if truly you have called me, you've called my husband into ministry, you have to fix this. And miraculously, God did it. And since that day, I have not ended up working. Not that I'm saying that working on Sunday is bad. But again, this is my own personal example. You understand? So I think seeking first the kingdom of God has to do with, okay, what is on your, like you said, your number one priority? Okay? What is your number one priority? Is it God or is it your bank account? Is it God or is it your children? Sometimes we, even as parents, we forget that these children, we are just caretakers. Oh, our children. Hey, our children. Ha, our children. But God, I was looking at the woman that lost the child. They just buried those three kids yesterday. And the mother said, I'm so sorry, my kids, that it took me this to know God. She said that. Took me this to know God. That sometimes we have put God at the back burner. And we have gone. Even we ourselves, including myself, we unconsciously let go, and we allow the flow of life to get to us, and thinking that, you know, there are some things that are key. All other things are not key. But then again, when we do things, do we consult with God? even up to cooking, even up to picking up your clothes. That's why some people will say, ah, go but the thing actually is that even ordinarily picking up your clothes, did you get God involved? See, prioritizing things with God goes in all ramifications of our life. Nothing left behind. So as we journey in life, we need to understand this is a conscious effort, and the Holy Spirit will back us up. The Bible says that Peter and John, when they were before them, they had the confidence, but was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered them to be able to speak to the rulers and say, you know what? We are not going to keep quiet. It wasn't them. God empowered them because God see in their heart that they want to do his work. So God empowered. So we have to make first a conscious effort to say, you know what, God? I'm all out for you, sold out for you. And he empowers us to make choices, to put him first in everything. That's why it says in that, I think 30, it said, O ye men of little faith. The people that have little faith, think of what they're going to wear. They don't trust God for their breakfast. They don't trust God, even if they don't have $1. They don't trust God that God might raise up a raven to come and give them breakfast. Even though they don't have $1, they don't have anything that can. They don't trust God to give them the breakfast the next day. So I think we need to build up our faith so that we can begin or start or continue where we are. Some of us that have, God will help us to put God as priority and not, you know, work on things that will perish. God will help us in Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I know we've said so much about this. Thank you so much, Pomi Pastor. I won't really dwell on that. I think at some point we lost focus on his question, but just to quickly address one or two things that I think we've said in the process of making comments, I would say that personally I do not consider the likes of the example that he was making as gambling. I just feel that God is God and he would always be God. He can give us the same assignment and he can decide to reward this person this way and then reward this person the other way. And it is just to prove that he is God. And if you do not stand firm in with the conviction that, yes, he really called you, he really placed this into your hand, you could start looking at the other person's race and then use that to judge and say, could this be God? In actual fact, it is God. But it is just that his name might be glorified. Remember when the blind man said, you know, they asked him, Jesus, that why was he born blind? He was without sin. And Jesus said, it's for the name of God to be glorified. You know, when I got the revelation of that scripture, ever since then, when things happen to me, I just tell myself that, see, it doesn't mean that God does not love you. It is just that God will be glorified. And personally in my life, I'm not a pastor. I do not aspire to be a pastor. But I would say that the topic today applies to us as individuals. It might be making reference to Pastor Adeboye, or because he's trying to give us, you know, living examples that we are very familiar with. But if you ask me, I even place so much premium on people that are on mission grounds, that are behind the scene, doing great and mighty things that we do not know about. We only see Pastor Adeboye, we only see Pastor Oyedepo, but there are people that are behind the scenes, working in the mud, working tirelessly for God. And then sometimes I ask myself that I'm in the comfort of AC and everything, and then I'm saying this and that. So I think it's an individual thing. And just like he said, like priority, what is our priority? Anyways, I won't really dwell much on that because I think we've talked extensively on that. But to his question that how can we make God our priority, I would say that it's like Mommy Pastor said, we need to bring it to our consciousness. We need to constantly remind ourselves that, see, it is not my children first. It is so hard to say. It is not my father. I love my parents so much. I love my child so much, but they are not the first. It is all about God first. Then every other thing would follow. So I need to constantly remind myself time over time. It is not my husband first. It is God first, my husband follows. That is the gospel truth. And then how can I daily try to make sure that I'm aligning, just like Brother Shola said, some of us, we do our jobs, our daily jobs do not align with maybe spiritual stuff. But then we cannot say because of that, we will then say while we are at work, it is all about work. For someone like me, what I try to do is, once we are not having a team discussion, I plug in my earphones, I try to listen to soul lifting songs, I try to listen to ministrations. I try to make sure that I'm feeding myself even as I'm doing my secular work. You know, that way we build up ourselves. And it is just you, for me, it's an act of worship to God to say that, God, I am doing this. I'm trying to tie figures together, but you still have a place in all of this. You know, so for us, we need to look for how we can be able to, you know, marry, you know, that our spiritual life, even as we do go about our secular work, if our secular work does not necessarily align with spiritual things. So it's about finding how we just, you know, it's honor. When you honor somebody, you make time for them. When you honor somebody, no matter how tight your time is, you'll be like, Daddy, I'll be there. Even if it's just to see you for 1 minute, I will drop by to see you. And that's the same way it is. We run a very busy schedule in the business of the United States of America. It's so busy, we can get lost. And if we do not make that conscious time to make, it's as if when Jesus was making that statement, he knew how busy we would be. And he knew that it would get to a point where we would say that, I'm just so busy, when I get home, I just want to knock off and sleep off. So if you know that when you get home, you will just sleep off, during the day, try to make out time, even while you are at it. It is not every time that you are talking to somebody while you are at work. So let us see how we can, you know, feed our spirit man, honor God with whatever we are doing. And trust me, one way or the other, it's a way of saying, God, you are priority. May God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay. Then.
Okay. Takes priority today.
Okay, so the... No.
Thank you.
For the pastor too is there. No. No prayer. No, so long as I seek the first, the kingdom of God.
I don't know what prize you are referencing anyway.
Yes, that's what they're 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I just want to add to everything that has been said. And the aspect I want to pick on is that, you know, while that brother was talking, you know, asking his questions, and he was narrating the background behind the way where, you know, what he experienced and everything and his stance, you know, I sensed a level of bitterness, like, you know, he has not fully dealt with that bitterness about their change of status from, you know, being comfortable to now having to manage and to, you know, start doing lots of things. And it's important to address that level of bitterness, because that might be an hindrance to even him fulfilling his ministry. Because what it means is that there will always be that reservation in him that, look, I'm not going to go all out. I'm not going to give it my all, because this was what my father did and this was the repercussion. So he needs to address that. And I pray that God will help him. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, wisdom is profitable to direct, in as much as we are to seek the kingdom of God. You know, I'm always mindful of one thing. I would not leave my own head, you know, and be going after other people's head at the detriment of my own household. In other words, as we seek the kingdom of God, we have to carry our children along. We have to make sure that they see division, they have that relationship with God, they have that connection with God, they have that understanding. I remember I've read this book by the wife of Bishop David Abioye, and in that book she was explaining how there was a time they did not have food to eat, you know, and how they were so broke, they were so hungry. Her husband was away on ministry trip, there was nothing in the house to eat, and her children came saying, oh, mommy, we're hungry, we want to eat. And all she could do was, okay, you know what, we're going to eat. And then she said they put water in plates and covered it, and they prayed that, okay, Lord, we thank you for this food. It's food, we are eating it by faith, she said. And they drank the water, they spooned. You know, they spoon fed the water, they drank the water, and she said her children played all day in the strength of that water that they drank. And then by nightfall, God brought someone who visited them and came with provisions that, we just came back, or we said we should say hello to you, and we are giving you this. So it's important as Christians, it's important as fathers and mothers, even as we seek after God, let's carry our children along. Let's carry our spouses along, so that they will understand as well, and they can also trust God with us. There's nothing. If at home, I let my children know, oh, I'm trusting God for this. Can you pray along with me? You know, so they begin to have that experience and that relationship with God on their own. May God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. So, Sister Yemi, then Pastor will now round it up. We just 1 minute, then pastor. So, Yes. So that the pastor will now write up.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I just wanted to say that thank God for all the contributions. That the truth about it is that just to answer a bit of my husband's question, Brother Dio's question, it's not just about being like seeking the kingdom of God. It's not just about saying, okay, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to become a pastor. You can either pray, give, or you serve. As much as it seems like as if serving sometimes is the only way we have that this thing that we have gone. I'm not saying it's not good to serve. I'm just trying to say that it's not the most, it's not the only thing. The people that are serving, you can support them. The people that are serving, you can pray for them. All those things, I believe that everybody, the people that you mentioned, whether it's Pastor David Abioye, David Oedekpo, Daddy Gio, they, as they were serving, there was somebody that God was using to give them. There was somebody that God was using to pray for them. And because of all those three items, and because those ones were looking at, trying to seek, because all these things are the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Whether we like it or not, those that are serving must eat. If we that were meant to give, that were, God has not called us to serve, are not doing our own part by the resources that he has given us. If you are not giving, then there's no way those people can even serve functioning. I'm not just any. I know somebody that their family was a missionary, and because of what they went through as their family, the person has vowed in there, just as my sister said, that the person, she can never be a missionary because of how much they did not have. So it's just for me, I believe when you're seeking the kingdom of God, even as a person, you just have to remember that you don't only have to be saved, you have to give and you have to pray for those that are serving and don't have the direct resources that you have, like come less in the money income, and just ground it all up. Brother, this was asking for somebody that I just was asking for somebody of an example. I don't want to tell you about J.D. Rockefeller. He was one of the richest men alive. And it is said that most of his philanthropy that he gave, he gave more than 10% of his whole wealth to the church. So that's another person that was seeking the kingdom of God. And he wasn't really like serving. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Pastor, no, just...
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know. I think all has been said. But there are a few things I would like us to take home. Because the Bible says we should not just be hearers alone. We should be doers. I thank God for what Mommy said. I remembered, and I shared it here, that one morning when we were having morning devotion, I had prayed and I told my children I was going to the office to ask for raise. And they joined me in prayer. You know, I was kind of interesting. Every minute, Toluani would text me, Daddy, what's the latest? I said, are you worried? He said, no, Daddy, I'm praying with you in school that you will get it. So I think it's very key that we take our children along. Sometimes we might say, what do you really know? And I'll tell you one thing, again, why you cannot ignore children. I remember one time myself and Uncle D were traveling to Nigeria. Damilola told me, Daddy, do you have the right Nigerian passport? I said, get out of here. What do you know? And we left. We were about to get to the airport. I brought the passport out. Brethren, guess what? It was the wrong passport. Two things saved us. There was no traffic. Secondly, it was that we left home so early. We had to literally ask them that we had to make a U-turn. So we cannot. And there's one thing I want to correct. Christians, we are not lucky, Brother Ashola. Christians are blessed. The word is that ones. The word is people that deal with luck. Christians, we are not luck. God blesses us. That's who we are. So from what Mommy said, one of the things that helped Abadeboy himself was that everything he did, his children were involved. If you read his story, he's in the car. They will be eating. They will be talking. They will be doing everything. And to also just put one thing on it, you see, that's why it is very important, sir, to know that you are called. If you call yourself, you will run into trouble. Oh, definitely. You will run into trouble. But when God calls you, and just like Mommy Pastor said, God never promised you that is going to be rosy. And believe me, sir, full-time ministry, it takes a lot of grace. That's why someone like us cannot be full-time minister unless we actually hear from God. Because I know what it is. I know what it is. It takes a lot. Exactly. It takes a lot. It takes a lot from you, from the children. And like mommy said, once your children don't even understand what they are doing, if they grow up, they study to say, never in my life will I be a baby. Because it takes a lot. It's a lot of work. And that's why up to today, I always tell people that the only pastor that is serving, that is a pastor in this ministry, as big as Daddy Joe, Redeemed does not pay him salary. Because that was his vow with God. He doesn't get paid. But the things that God does in his life, even me myself, because I'm close to his children, and I share with my wife, one of his sons told me one day, Daddy, he said, I don't know if I can have the kind of spirit my father carries on. I said, why? He said, how do you sit in your living room and somebody brings you a brand new Mercedes Benz, not touched, not used, and you pick your phone and you call an AGO. Say, Baba, come, I'd like to see you. An AGO comes and sit and say, Baba, you'll be serving in this ministry together. God has done it again. Here's the key to this car. Go and use it. Say, I can't do it, Pastor Mutupe. Is it madness? The car they just brought for me, I've not even... He said he was looking at that like this. They just brought the car, sir. Which one is this? You know? So the Lord will help us. And like everybody has said, ask yourself, what has God asked you to do? Like my sister said, it's something they know me for in SEPCO. Lunchtime, I don't talk. I put on it. I would just, so there was a day I was listening and I didn't even know when I was saying amen. And somebody was like, this is not the church, mom. I said, I'm sorry. You know, make sure you get yourself going. I'm not expecting everybody to be pastors. None of us are going to be. But there are some that God has called. Like my sister said, what has God called you? Are you called to support missionaries? My brother is not a pastor. He's a missionary in Kenya. I remember the first time he was going to Kenya, my father said, after he has fought with him not to, my father said, God did not send you to any local area in America. He said, Kenya. Kenya of all places. Why Kenya? But he's there and he's doing good. He's doing well. So we should just ask God to help us. That which he has called us to do, the grace to do it, he will give unto us. America is a land that is full of challenge. But like Sister Kemi said, if care is not taken, you can easily get lost. And I pray that we will not be missing, we will not lose it. We will end it well. We will finish well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, there's no price for you.
No.
So, but please.
So long as that is the ultimate name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Though I would have loved to conclude, but but the whole thing is this, the summary is this, it's not all about being a pastor or you understand now. I was just using that the geo and yes. So, but the point is this, when they say that we should seek here first the kingdom of God, you don't have to be a pastor. They are saying that Jesus Christ is saying, or was saying, and is saying that for you and I, do not put your mind on the things, do not allow your focus to be on the things of this world. Because the word vanity upon vanity. But rather, focus on the things, heavenly things, like we read in that Colossians 3. So that you and I, that crown of glory will be ours. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.